Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, faint the breeze.
Confused and delayed, and it happened in an area of San Francisco which has a lot of restaurants. So one of the public policy questions that have arisen is, if a utility causes or its transformers go out and create a brownout, people have lost electricity, if food is defrosted and ruined in the refrigerators, do the utilities have an obligation to compensate the consumers who lost electricity because of the utility company's brownouts? This is a public policy question. And I was interviewed today by a TV station, because I lived in an area where this happened earlier this morning. And apparently this TV news interviewer didn't know any answer to the question, was quite surprised. The other issue that people need to be looking at is this very aggressive, intense agitation by these radical left communist unions, the SEIU, Service Employees International Union. They want to take over utilities and operate them, and of course there's a lot of money to be made from utilities, gas, electric, and water. So it's interesting. Right now, a lot of the companies that provide electricity around the country are private companies, which are in the capitalist system. However, if these radical left unions get control of these utilities and force the local city governments to cancel contracts or to issue new contracts that include these radical left unions like SEIU, do you think that if you're living in an area and there's a brownout or there's a loss of electricity, that the union is going to get up early in the morning, get their members out there, and restore electric power, gas, or water? And if they go on strike, what are you going to do for electricity or gas or water? Something to think about. We cannot allow this to happen, but this is in the offing, that radical left publications such as the Bay Guardian want, like San Francisco, which has this arrangement contract with Pacific Gas and Electric, as bad as things are with them, they'll be much, much worse if a radical left union like SEIU or any of the others get the contract to provide and take over the electrical power lines and transmission to the consumers of Northern California. That's something to think about, and it's not only affecting San Francisco, that you cannot trust these radical unions to be public-minded servants. They're more interested in the political agenda. Excuse me. So we're doing a half an hour today because of this brownout and things that got screwed up. Among the other public policy questions, we started with part one with Arturo Toscanini, is should musicians like Furt Langer and Mengelberg and others engage and embrace the political propaganda agendas of the countries that they live in, especially during wartime? What happened in Nazi Germany was the Jewish musicians and other musicians who opposed the Nazis and didn't want to become part of their artist propaganda program, they fled, or they didn't practice or didn't perform publicly. Yet people like Wilhelm Furtwängler, one of the greatest of the German conductors and one of the greatest of the musician conductors of all time, actively served Hitler and Goebbels until they had no further use for him. And then toward the end of World War II, they tried to put him in a concentration camp, but he fled across the mountains into Switzerland. Now, after World War II, there was denazification trials held by the Allies, and Furtwängler was one of the people who was involved in one of these trials. He was denazified. However, there's still a lot of controversy about him, and there was a movie starring Christopher Plummer on the denazification trial of Wilhelm Furtwängler. We're going to play a clip from illustrate just how they did it in Germany with these musicians. Now, this is in German, but I'll translate. This is an example where, this is from a video, German newsreel, where Furtwängler went to these munitions factories with the Berlin Philharmonic to perform at lunchtime to try to rally the munitions workers to support the Nazi war effort. This is one of the things that got him in trouble. This is the Meistersinger. So this is what the munitions workers and others were given on their lunch hour, a little concert by Berlin. This was supposed to be to keep their morale up while they were being bombed by the Allies. This happened in the recent factories. I think we have the Mengelberg clip, but if we don't have that, we'll play the, here we go. And this is what Mengelberg did. Ironically, he's playing a piece of Russian music by Tchaikovsky. This is the end. Thank you. when the Dutch were liberated from the Nazis, they were so angry with Mengelberg that they kicked him out of his conductorship. He was there for 50 years of the great Concertgebouw Orchestra. He never again conducted a symphony orchestra anywhere in the world after that. He went to Switzerland, and he died a very bitter man. But now, here's Toscanini, and he's talking about why he supported Mussolini and how he got disenchanted. Now, this is one of the best of the week interviews.
And to think that I was once a friend of the great delinquent.
The great who?
I got to know Mussolini. I was even on his electoral slate. I supported him.
You supported Mussolini?
Say, yes, me. And it was a total disaster.
Remember, at the time, Mussolini was left of the Socialist Party. Very different from when he created fascism.
Listen, I repented even before that criminal came to power in 22. 3 years before that, Walter and I attended one of his secret meetings. And Mussolini was speaking. He came over and tried to get me to join.
My dear.
Then...
Marinetti. Poeta futurista.
Si. He came over later. He persuaded me to put my name to the slate.
Seriously?
Yes. Everyone was surprised. People telephoned me. What? Toscanini with Mussolini? Yes, Toscanini with Mussolini. I'm sick of hearing everybody to talk, and doing nothing about it.
When that opportunity swung from left to right, I openly turned against it. What a monster he was. As long as I was at La Scala, I refused to hang those mandatory portraits of Mussolini or the king. What a horrible period.
The fascist, you said, Papa was on patriot. After all he'd done for it.
I had conducted the Anthem Italiano many times during the Great War to raise money for the war effort. And I conducted patriotic music with a military band on the front in 1917. We played on Monte Santo under enemy fire, but I would never play the Antifascista if my life depended on it.
Now, this is was an excerpt from biography of Toscanini. Now, Zubin Mehta, who was born in India, his father was also a symphony conductor. Zubin Mehta was conductor of the New York Philharmonic and then the Los Angeles Philharmonic. When the Six-Day War started, and the war, one of the many wars between the Israelis and the Arabs, Zubin Mehta flew to Israel, and he conducted the Israeli Philharmonic near the battlefronts and all of that. So I guess that changed things, that it was okay for musicians to get involved in the musical morale efforts of their governments when it came to wartime. Now, this is Toscanini conducting the communist anthem, the Internationale. Later was banned. He was severely criticized for arranging this into a work of music called the Hymn of Nations. And this was World War II music propaganda. And, of course, after the war, people began to realize very quickly that Stalin was as big a thug as Hitler, Mussolini, and Tojo. So here's an excerpt from the Hymn of Nations where they added this musical interpretation of the Internationale, the communist anthem.
Thank you.
after the war, that was banned, the Internationale, and Toscanini was criticized. Toscanini was a great musician. He's one of the rare breed of musicians that had perfect pitch. He could hear a piece of music in it, and he could replay it note for note in the right key and everything. It's a rare quality. I don't have it. When I went to music school, and I was taught by one of my teachers, piano teacher, was Ming Cherepin, who was the wife of Alexander Cherepin, who fled from Russia along with Rachmaninoff. Today is the birthday, April 1st, of Serge Rachmaninoff, great pianist. He had these huge hands. They were called, some people referred to them as bear claw hands, great piano virtuoso. He fled after the Russian Revolution. He died in Los Angeles in 1940-41. Today is also the birthday of Lon Chaney, who played The Hunchback of Notre Dame and a lot of these horror films in the early days of film. Also, today is the birthday of Wallace Beery. We have a rare film that he did on not Zapata, but Pancho Villa. Now, Pancho Villa was one of the guys around the 1900s who was raiding American towns along the Mexican border, similar to what's going on today, although he wasn't involved in drugs. And General John J. Pershing and Patton, part of the contingent that went down they went into Mexico to chase and capture, if they could, Pancho Villa. Now, the argument has come up again that maybe the United States Army, although we're spread all over the world now, with Libya's the latest, should go into Mexico and chase down and capture and bring back for trial these terrorists who are involved in gun running, drugs, assassinations of American citizens and American diplomats and American law enforcement. That's very controversial, but it did happen at the turn of the century with General John Pershing. Wallace Beery's cousin, Drew Beery, served in the Vietnam War, and he started a veteran support group. It's on the web. I'll bring it up probably Monday. And Art Burnclaw, who was involved in veterans' health care and veterans' military rights issues, turned me on to Jer Beery. He was badly wounded in the Vietnam War. And one of the things that he was responsible for, his wife tried to, they got divorced, and she tried to attach most, if not all, of his veterans' benefits. And it was a U.S. Supreme Court case, Mansell versus California. And a California Vietnam veteran had the same type of fight here, and this stupid California Supreme Court, which does not respect military veterans' rights, such as that of Steve Neri, they granted the woman, the divorced woman, access to Mansell's veterans' benefits, which were not granted by the paid for by the state of California. He appealed all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they slapped down the California Supreme Court's decision as an excess of jurisdiction, a very similar thing which happened to Steve Neri. Now, today is April 1st. It's the unfortunate anniversary of Juan Piferre's cremation. This is the guy, the Argentine neo-Nazi, one of the people connected to the bank, the Provincia of the province of Buenos Aires, which allegedly held or still holds assets stolen from World War II victims, aristocrats, Catholics, Jews, gypsies, people who lived in the Nazi-occupied lands in Western Europe. And a lot of that money after World War II and assets was stolen and shipped out of Western Europe and is believed to have ended up in banks in North America and South America, and especially in Argentina, where Juan Piferre did not support the Allies. He supported Hitler, Mussolini, Tojo, and allowed the Nazis who were fleeing from Nuremberg. He fled through Naples, I believe, and came to Argentina and then went into Paraguay, which was controlled by Strausner, whose family was originally from Bavaria. He was one of those neo-Nazi types who controlled land in South America. And those Nazis like Dr. Mengele, Klaus Barbie, some of the others, Adolf Eichmann, ended up coming through Argentina, and there were assets there to support them. And the Mossad chased them down, and they captured Eichmann, which we believe has connection to Juan Piferre's case. Also, today is the birthday of Toshiro Mifune. Remember the bridge on the river, bridge on the River Kwai, a somewhat fictionalized version of what really happened. That bridge was built at a horrible human price to the British, Canadian, New Zealand, Australian POWs who built that bridge so the Japanese could run their trains up through Burma. Mifune played with Alec Guinness in that film, and I think it won some Academy Awards. Also, today is the birthday of William Manchester, who wrote the book on the masterful book on President John Kennedy. Eddie Fisher died recently, and one of his wives is Debbie Fisher. Today is her birthday. And then we had William Harvey. He's the Englishman back in the 16th century who discovered how blood circulated in the human body. Now, also, today is the anniversary of the death of Dr. Drew, Charles Drew, who was a black physician in World War II, who discovered he was one of the fathers of the modern blood bank, and he worked on, experimented with blood plasma, which was his discoveries helped save American soldiers' lives in World War II. However, there was this stupid segregation that black blood could not be given to a white person, and a white person's blood could not be given, white donor's blood could not be given to a black person, as if you could tell the ethnic group of the blood. But he died at age 45. He didn't live that long. I think he lived in Chicago. And then also, this today in 1850, the city and county of San Francisco was set up. Something about this. And then today also, the United Air Force Academy was founded. And then another California commemoration. The Apple will start today with Steve Jobs and Wozniak, and now they're pushing iPods, which are very, very popular. And also today, the Royal Air Force, back in 1919, I think I have their, here we go. This is a military march commemoration to the Royal Air Force. We'll be right back. to be noted that Prince William, the second heir to the throne, I think Prince Charles is first in line, but he probably won't succeed his mother. A lot of controversy. Anyway, all of the members, male members of the immediate royal family, serve in the Britain's armed forces. They serve in the Navy, like Prince Prince Consort Philip, and then Prince William was recently a helicopter pilot in the Royal Air Force, and then his younger brother served in Afghanistan, and I hate to say this, but the video voyeurs have targeted him as a sex object, and it's just disgusting what's going on, that anybody who's attractive in the public eye gets video voyeured if they can get away with it by these homosexual video voyeur predators. Monday we will have the interview we did, part one, with a veteran of the Yugoslav army, I still have this cold. And the working title is Some of the Things That You Were Curious About Yugoslavia But Didn't Know Where to Look or Who to Ask. And among those things was, where did the Yugo come from? So we're going to end now with our usual theme. And also next week, this is tentatively scheduled, Richard Badisco, whose great ancestor was involved in the purchase of Alaska in 1867, famous San Francisco family. He's a retired San Francisco policeman. And he's going to be talking about how cops profile. That's tentatively scheduled. So we'll end with our usual theme today, politics and polka.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine, fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raid.
We should ask Charles Schumer that. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Good night. We'll see you Monday at 5:30. This will be left up on the our website, and you can download it on your iPod. So see you Monday at 5:30. Good night.